want to say thank you for that news update on the half hour and get us back into what I had hoped to talk about today, something that feels a little more normal than the news we've had to be passing along for the last couple of weeks surrounding this coronavirus story. And that is talking about some mule deer management plans. And the best guy to help us with that, of course, is our big game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources here in the state of Utah, Covey Jones, who joins us. Nice to have you.
Hey, it's nice to be here, Tim.
Boy, if you're like me, you're looking to, and maybe this is in your wheelhouse, talking normal, quote-unquote normal things these days in your meetings and things, but I thought it would be fun just for our listeners in this half hour to talk a little hunting and a little fishing, and the first thing they need to know is that the RAC meetings that are coming up are not going to be like normal, are they?
No, they're not, Tim. Because of the coronavirus concerns, obviously, in-person public meetings are not appropriate right now. And so we're looking at doing a virtual format on those where you can watch them, and you can watch the proposals before and make comments. Up to 3 days before the RAC that you'd like to comment at, you can submit comments for that RAC.
And so rather than confuse everybody with dates and things, I guess the best advice is just go to the division website, which is wildlife.utah.gov, and check out the timing of those.
Yeah, I think check out the timing for the RAC that represents the area that you live in and that you want to comment in or hunt in, obviously, right?
I guess the headline here for some of the proposals that you want some feedback on would be that you're proposing, anyway, a decrease in general season deer, and immediately hunters out there go, whoa, wait a minute. But that's the general season buck deer. There are some other things we'll get into in a minute. But what's the overall reason for the downturn in the number of permits here?
It's the summer of 2018 and winter of 2019 for some units was more severe than we even anticipated at first. And as we compiled all the survival data and really dove into it last December and post-season, we just realized that we had some units that we lost a lot of deer on. And I guess realized is wrong. We were tracking it the entire time, but to see the effects compiled was, we knew that we had to cut permits. And I want to stress to the listeners, cutting buck permits doesn't help a deer population bounce back, right? Because bucks obviously don't have babies. But cutting buck permits will allow us to manage for what we've agreed to manage to in the management plan. And that is hunters expect some level of quality out there. And that is anywhere from 15 to 20 bucks per 100 does post-season or after the hunts are over. And so that's the main rationale behind these cuts is that we've agreed to manage to those ratios. We've agreed to have that many bucks in the landscape. And so in order to achieve those goals, we have to cut back on permits.
Yeah, and there's also going to be a cut in permits for the doe. That's also going to be expected. The number of permits, by the way, goes down by about 9,000 total here in and around that. And I did notice when I shared the story over to our Facebook page that you were getting hammered pretty good by hunters out there who were saying, now, wait a minute, you were telling us the numbers were higher last year. What's going on? But again, your explanation was a good one, that you were compiling numbers on the fly and you just didn't have them all together when last year's recommendations came down.
Well, and the truth is, if you look through the cuts, not all units are equal. And if you'll remember, even in the interview last year, I said, you know, we do have some units in northern Utah, some in southern, some in southeastern Utah that have been struggling. But the central portion of the state, and if you look through the cuts, when you look at the Manti, which is a really big deer unit, or you look at the Wasatch, those units, we didn't lose the number of animals there that we lost in these other portions of the state, and we didn't have to make those cuts there. You know, so the cuts were not ubiquitous across the state. Some units we cut by over 30% because they were didn't have the number of deer there. And other units, we didn't cut at all.
Yeah. I see that the general any bull elk and spike bull elk have not changed as far as recommendations go. The cow elk, probably for the same reasons we just talked about with the mule deer, are expected to be lower.
Yeah, you know, and elk are a little different. They're a hardier animal, all right? And so you see less mortality on the landscape, natural mortality on the landscape. But what we did see is that cow-calf ratios went down. When we take those in July, and the reduced cow-calf ratio was just less recruitment into the population last year. So elk are down a bit. We're just right below the population objective for elk in the state of Utah. So we backed off antlers permits there just a bit, and we'll let them come back.
The other one that was getting quite a bit of chatter on social media was the proposal to decrease the antlerless deer permits. There's a lot to explain there as well.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we do need some antlerless deer permits on the landscape. There are areas where we have high conflict, where we have urban conflict. There are areas where we have habitat or range issues or high depredation issues on private landowners. And we have areas where deer populations, they're increasing in areas and they're not available to the public very often. And we have a landowner or something like that that'll say, well, instead of the division removing all these animals, why don't we allow hunters to do it? And we push for that all the time anyway. So in areas where we have conflict or range concerns, we would love to have hunters help manage those populations instead of having the division have to do that and give that opportunity to somewhere else.
There were a couple of main reasons for abandoning the widespread antler point restrictions. One was the unacceptable accidental illegal kill, and the other one was harvest mortality, which has increased on the very age classes that this program was intended to promote.
Three-pointer banner has been shown across the West that if the intent is to have more bucks on the landscape or more mature bucks, it doesn't work. You know, there are some states that are still using it, but they're using it for other reasons. You know, Wyoming has an antler point restriction, and they use it to intentionally harvest mature bucks for chronic wasting disease. So there are things out there that antler point restrictions will work for, but it won't increase the number of mature bucks on the landscape, and that's been demonstrated time and time again. We've chosen to avoid that because it doesn't work the way that the hunters would like it to work. What they'd like it to do is to increase the number of mature animals on the landscape, and instead of doing that, it targets those very animals. And so, for deer, Utah doesn't. We tried antler point restrictions. It increased illegal harvest, and it didn't work. And we're not the only state that's tried and changed this. This has been tried across the West, and there's a lot of information on it. There's a lot of stuff you can read on it. If you want to read about antler point restrictions and the consequences of those, you can. But it doesn't accomplish what it was intended to accomplish.
I got you. There were a couple of places where there are increases in permits, bull moose among them, and bison. Bison were down. I'm sorry. It was bighorn sheep.
Yeah, our new master plan and recent survey flights, we've got some areas where we can increase bighorn sheep permits, and we're excited to do that. And then, again, with bull moose, just a very slight increase, but we have the ability to offer some more opportunity in that as well.
So these rack meetings, these virtual rack meetings, are going to start taking place, I guess, next week, April 7th. And then they'll continue the 7th, the 8th, the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, and the 30th. And, again, we'll just tell people if you want to weigh in on this, and it looks like a lot of people have opinions, as they always do, on the social media pages, they should go to the website, which is just wildlife.utah.gov. Your overall expectation, though, for the 2020 big game hunts is what?
That's a really hard question because there's so much that goes into it between weather and timing and everything. But we always hope to provide a good product, and we hope to manage. We strive to manage to what we've agreed to manage to in the state. And so that's what I can say is that we're working hard to provide good recommendations and manage Utah's wildlife in the best way we can.
All right. I know you've got another meeting to get to, Covey. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on this week's show.
Hey, thanks, Tim. We'll talk to you later.
Big game coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, Covey Jones, on the line here with a little profile of what they're expecting and what they're looking for you to have input on in some proposed changes to the big game hunts here in Utah. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll have some fish bites for you, and we're going to connect with Paul Phillips up at Strawberry, get the latest on what the ice conditions are up there. So make sure you stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Well, let me tell you a story about a little fella. Black and blue with a hint of yellow. The bluegill boogie. Yeah, the bluegill boogie. When the bass ain't biting and the trout are gone, try the bluegill boogie. You can't go wrong.
I said earlier in this half hour, I was looking forward to talking about some normal things like hunting and fishing in this half hour instead of the news we've had to pass along over the past couple of weeks. A lot of questions coming in about where we are with ice off this year. People still looking at that. That'll be a great way to get away. And when you think about it, most people are wondering what the situation at Strawberry is. Best place to get that information right from the source is Paul Phillips from Strawberry Bay Marina. And we've connected this morning. What's up?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well. The question is, what's the situation on the water up there? Or is it water? Is it still ice?
So we still have usable ice right now. First week of April, we kind of cooled back down again. We were well on our way to get some pullback and have some open water along the shore, and then winter decided to come back.
Yeah, I wondered when it was 29 degrees down here in the valley what the temperature was at your place.
Yeah, we were sitting like 9 degrees yesterday, so it was pretty cold for this time of year. And but it made it, you know, the ice probably another week of safe ice now, so...
So you've still got people going out on the ice to fish these days?
We do. We have people still using it. There's a county order in place, and so a few of the Wasatch County people are out and breaking holes in the ice, and fishing has just been phenomenal this year. Record amounts of kokanee coming through the ice this year, which was, you know, really encouraging to me because I love chasing kokanee, and so that summertime kokanee fishing is just going to be phenomenal.
What do you point to for more kokanee coming out? Is it just the populations?
Yeah, they're just getting unbelievable amounts of natural recruitment right now and very healthy return on their fish naturally and through planting. So just really has taken off. It's kind of a success story in the lake for natural reproduction and for growth, and the reservoir's just been so healthy as a food source for them, and great fish. I mean, phenomenal fish to catch.
Yeah. We should tell everybody, as soon as they ask the question about what the ice conditions are up there or where we are as far as ice off goes, the next thing is the store open? And you're under the same restrictions everybody else is in that county, correct?
We are. We're doing our very best to keep our store clean and to keep distance and do all those things that are necessary to slow this thing down. We stayed open. We were essential, part of that order. And so we are here, we're open. It kept my employees and I will continue to keep my employees and just move into summer and you know, pray that this thing, you know, turns and goes away.
Yeah. So anybody that's thinking about coming up, they can still access the store, but are you limiting the number of people that can come in at a time, or how are you working through that?
No, and normally this is my, you know, in-between season, so I don't have a lot of traffic right now. But we do. If we do have an influx of people coming into the store, we ask that they, you know, please keep the 6-foot distance if they can. And we've put all those safety, you know, precautions in place. We closed the restaurant down and actually had a steam company come in with hot steam and totally disinfect everything. And so we'll be ready for startup when we get, you know, get the word to start back up be ready for everybody.
Yeah. I was saying on the air this week with Utah's Morning News, you know, the best thing that I think all of us could do is get away and get out in the sunshine and breathe some fresh air. I can't think of a better way to do that than to get up there and do a little fishing as long as you keep your distance. But that's pretty easy to do if you're in a boat with a couple of buddies or, you know, you're out on the ice. Everybody kind of keeps their distance anyway.
Yeah, and they do. And you're just out in, you know, the air's constantly moving up here. And, you know, even if you're in close proximity, you know, in a group less than 10, you still have good, clean, fresh air moving, and it always blows here at Strawberry, so there's lots of wind. You know, you need to probably be a little careful if you're going to pitch a tent on the ice and, you know, get a bunch of people inside of it. But, you know, they're doing it, and I think people are, you know, they're safe. I think people realize that, you know, they're being cautious and they're being safe, and they're, you know, they know if they're sick, then they're not doing it, you know. And
yeah.
The people that are coming in here, you know, have all said, well, we're not sick. You know, they go to my door and we feel great. We're not sick. We haven't been sick. And so I think people are very conscious about it. But I'm with you. They really want to get out in the outdoors. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful out here right now.
You mentioned the kokanee. What were you seeing this ice season with the cuts and the rainbows?
So we had just really, really good fishing for all the species. We even saw a few rainbows showing up. They've had a real rough time of planting rainbows and not having the cuts eat most of what they plant. So they're working on, they grew them bigger before to try and get some more rainbows in here. They're going to try something a little bit different and see if they can grow fish to a little bit, the rainbows at least to a larger size so they can get some rainbow fishery back in here. But the cutthroats were just crazy good. I mean, I saw people, you know, 50, 60 fish, and we created a new service in shuttling people out on the lake so they can get away from the marina on our snowmobile. So we do a shuttle service to take them to their favorite spots, and that's been really successful. And then that way we can ask, you know, each time we pick them up at night how they did fishing, and so we've really had a unique opportunity to keep tabs on where the best fishing is. And most everybody that we talked to just had a phenomenal ice fishing year.
Yeah.
Huge amounts of catch rate and fish, and size of fish was really good. So it's all encouraging.
Yeah. Well, good. And I'm glad to hear a little spunk in your voice up there. And hats off to you. Hats off to you to try and keep your employees on the job, too. I think that's really important right now.
No. They work so hard. And, you know, it's just I'm grateful for my employees. And we're going to do everything we can to, you know, get through this. And I truly believe it's just a short-term thing. I feel it, you know, that it's short-term and that we're going to get through it. And everybody's going to be out enjoying the outdoors and fishing and doing the things that they normally like to do.
I carry that same optimism. And even Dr. Fauci the other day says, look, he has dedicated his life to studying all these viruses. And he said he has no reason to doubt that this virus will react the same way to warmer temperatures in the spring and summer months. And that, you know, it could be a seasonal thing, but at least we're going to get a little break from it here. He said he would bet just about anything that that was the case, as a matter of fact. So we'll stay on the hopeful side as well. But again, a reminder to anybody, if you're headed up there this weekend to Strawberry, we always tell you the best way to know what's going on that body of water is to stop at the marina store first. And when you do, you're going to get a smiling face from John and Paul up there and the rest of the family and their workers. Just wanted to check in with you, buddy. I'm glad to hear your voice, and I need to get up there one of these days and do a little reset of my brain as well.
Yeah, do that, and we're excited, and we're excited to see everybody, and the minute you can get away, Tim, let's go catch some fish.
All right, that sounds good to me. Paul Phillips, Strawberry Bay Marina. We'll take another break, and we'll come back. ABC News at the top of the hour.
Don't like it, you can. So Bubba said he'd show around, turn him in time, got himself a new.